Welcome back to the Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about resolving conflicts. Halfway through Jean-Claude's coaching engagement, I was on the phone with his boss, Kerry. My intention was to give him a brief update on the coaching. Much to my surprise, I heard Kerry thanking me for helping Jean-Claude resolve the long-standing antagonism between the data management group that Jean-Claude led and the accounting group. The rift between those groups started long before Jean-Claude got here, Kerry told me. I never imagined this would be one of the outcomes of the coaching. Well, I said, I'd love to take the credit, but Jean-Claude and I actually haven't spoken much about this issue. I knew the two groups weren't getting along, but the coaching is focused on other issues. At our next session, I asked Jean-Claude what he had done to bring the two groups together. Here's what he told me. By the way, I contributed very little to Jean-Claude's success, but his story feels important to share. His approach is a great model for averting situations that could become costly or demoralizing. Okay, here's the story. Within months of taking over the data management group, Jean-Claude heard complaints from his people about poor data coming from accounting. At about the same time, he received a nasty gram from an executive in accounting listing grievances about Jean-Claude's data management team. Jean-Claude quickly arranged a lunch with that executive from accounting. Going into the lunch, Jean-Claude had two goals. First, listen to all her grievances without being defensive. Second, get her permission to talk with the accounting people who were interacting with his group. He achieved both those goals, and he began what he laughingly called his listening tour. He met with small groups of accounting folks. He listened and took copious notes. When asking questions, he made an effort to sound inquisitive rather than attacking. When he got answers, he nodded and took more notes. He didn't debate or clarify. Privately, it was apparent to Jean-Claude that the accounting people didn't understand what the data management group did. But he resisted explaining anything just yet. This was his listening tour, and he stuck to that agenda. Meanwhile, he was listening to his team's complaints with fresh ears. He saw that his people didn't understand the accounting group's inner workings any more than the accountants understood his group. Instead of explaining to his people what he'd learned, he began prepping them for the next stage. He said, "We're going to come together so we can begin to understand each other. It's going to be important in those meetings to resist pulling out old errors and making it a big blame game. The purpose of the meetings is for us to hear their needs and for them to hear ours so that both groups can get better results." When Jean-Claude brought the teams together, he told them he felt he was standing on top of a wall dividing two warring countries. From his elevation, he could see into both countries and understand roots of mistrust on both sides. He also understood that the two countries wouldn't truly be able to cooperate until each could see over the wall into the other country. He told them he wanted them to listen to each other the same way he'd been listening to each of them. One of the most profound moments in that first joint meeting was perhaps one of the simplest. Jean-Claude distributed copies of three reports his group had delivered to the executive team in the last 30 days. The room fell silent except for the turning of pages. When the accountants looked up, many of them said, "Oh, now I understand why you've been wanting that set of numbers that way." After one more joint meeting, the issues were almost completely resolved. The wall that had divided them for so long had shrunk to a speed bump. When Jean-Claude finished telling me his story, I told him his results were cause for celebration. I doubled my congratulations when I found out that everything in this story occurred in less than 5 weeks. That's a speedy resolution to a long-standing conflict. I also told him I had one concern. I felt there was one final step that might be unresolved: accountability. I told him, The first time things aren't perfect, the blaming may start up all over again. As good as things are, I don't think you're all one big happy family yet. He laughed and agreed. I encouraged Jean-Claude to have the groups address accountability directly. What would his group do if data from accounting were incorrect? And what would the accountants do if their old grievances resurfaced? Agreements between the groups about resolving future performance issues were critical if the détente was to hold. Not surprisingly, as I made my suggestions, Jean-Claude took notes without debate or argument. Because I wanted to be sure that he could replicate this process in the future, I asked if he actually knew the steps he had taken. He said he really didn't. He had been running on instinct and intuition. I told him, "I think your process has three specific steps. In addition, there are three specific behaviors. And," I continued, "the steps and the behaviors are so effective you could apply them to individuals as easily to teams. Here are the three steps and the three behaviors to help resolve conflict. First, three steps. Number one, acknowledge the problem. Hoping the problem's going to resolve itself is naive. Prolonged avoidance of conflict is the opposite of the look and sound of leadership. The problem needs to be brought out into the open. Number two, discover mutual purpose. Both parties need to find a shared vision of how resolving the conflict is going to benefit them both. Jean-Claude's image of standing on the wall was one part of that step. Once it's found, leaders need to repeat the shared vision simply and explicitly to everyone on both teams. Repetition is important. Don't assume people get it the first time they hear it. The shared vision will need to be spoken often. Number three, agree to new procedures for the future. Change is hard for everyone. New behaviors don't sprout overnight. Everyone should agree how to hold each other accountable going forward if old or new problems arise. So, the three steps for resolving conflict: number one, acknowledge the problem; two, discover mutual purpose; three, agree to new procedures for the future. Here are the three behaviors you need to resolve conflict. Number one, listen non-defensively. Accept reality. Your team, or you, are contributing to the problem in some way. True resolution only happens when both parties can respect each other's concerns. That means both sides must listen without blame or argument. Right becomes irrelevant. Non-defensive listening is often the hardest behavior to display consistently. Yet when it's present, that's the behavior that's most likely to build trust and help resolve the conflict. Behavior number two, be transparent. Share as much information as possible. The other party isn't the enemy. Don't assume that they know what you do or what you want or why you want it. Number three, resist rehashing or blaming. People should only revisit past transgressions as a way of examining how things can be better in the future. If one party raises an old incident, they need to be able to own their part in contributing to the bad outcome. Okay, the three behaviors needed to resolve conflict: one, listen non-defensively; two, be transparent; three, resist rehashing and blaming. Whether you're dealing with fractious teams or warring individuals, those three steps, coupled with the three behaviors, will help everyone achieve the look and sound of leadership. If the idea of getting better at resolving conflicts appeals to you, here are three books that you might put on your reading list. Number one, Crucial Conversations. The lead author is Kerry Patterson. Two, Difficult Conversations. The lead author here is Douglas Stone. Three, Getting to Yes. lead author, Roger Fisher. All three of those books have terrific conflict resolution skills. In addition, here are five other podcasts that will help you develop your conflict resolution skills. A Difficult Conversation, Disagree Agreeably, Handling Defensive Behaviors, Holding People Accountable, Listen Without an Agenda. Those podcasts, and more than 80 others, can be found on the Essential Communications website, EssentialCom.com. That's EssentialCom with two M's, .com. From our homepage, click the navigation button marked Coaching Tips. That will take you to an archive of all our podcasts. When you're there, you can search the archive by categories that interest you. One category is communication skills. There are more than 35 tips in that category that will help you develop your skills. Every tip on the website can also be downloaded as PDFs to save for yourself or forward to others. Our podcasts are also available through iTunes. Just search for The Look and Sound of Leadership. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.